Hey everyone, Chat Cemetery is back. I'm your host, Deanna Chapman, and today I am joined by Kim C., who is the host of another Stephen King podcast. Kim, can you tell us a little about your podcast before we dive in here?
Absolutely. Thank you, Deanna. It's super great to be here. And I am the host of The Year of Underrated Stephen King. It's a literary book podcast where we're taking a look at the lesser known, lesser loved King titles and exploring them for great writing.
There will be a link in the show notes, so be sure to check that out. I will be on an episode soon or just recently, depending on how schedules go.
Absolutely.
But today, we are talking about the third Bill Hodges trilogy novel, End of Watch. This came out in 2016. And Kim, for you, was this a first-time read or had you already read the entire trilogy prior to this?
This was a previous read. So I had already made my way through the trilogy when I got to this guy because I had to find out what happened to Bill and Holly and the gang for sure.
Awesome. This was an entirely new read for me. I didn't know anything going into it other than the fact that Holly Gibney was a presence in this trilogy because I had watched the Outsider series. So I at least knew a little bit about her character. I know they changed her somewhat for that show in particular, but I had a really good time with this trilogy, even though everything that happens pretty much is a really bad time.
Yes. Yeah, I'm so glad you liked it because I think that there's a lot of hot and cold readers with it, which I get. And I think it's a wonderful trilogy to explore. It's a very unique slice of King. And so I think there's a lot to enjoy here for sure.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and just say this now. This was probably my least favorite of the three, but it's still a very, very solid trilogy because I didn't find myself being like, oh, okay, I'm kind of over this at all when I was reading this. And you have the fact that this focuses so much on Brady, which is a return to the first book, Mr. Mercedes, and it kind of brings everything full circle because, you know, obviously Brady, who is our big bad villain for this trilogy, was mentioned in book two, but he largely was not a strong presence in Finders Keepers. So were you pleased that they came back to this character and added this element that at least gave you closure in a way that maybe Mr. Mercedes didn't?
Yes, absolutely. I am very glad they brought him back, or Steve brought him back. And I couldn't agree with you more. This title, End of Watch, is my least favorite of the three. But there is something so enticing about the episodic quality to it. The fact that the same villain from Mr. Mercedes has resurfaced. It's great. It's very old school. It feels a little comic book in a way, like, oh, he's back from the dead. And he kind of sort of is, if we look at it closely. I loved that. And I liked that we have a different incarnation of this villain. So yeah, I agree with you. I was happy that we had a similar villain to spend more time with in a different incarnation.
I think the reason I didn't like this quite as much is because of the direction the story takes. And King has done supernatural things. He's done, you know, his big fantasy epic with the Dark Tower. So it's not unusual for him to put in a twist that kind of leads more in that direction. But what I really loved about the first two books in particular were how grounded in reality they were. And this third one takes us out of that by the end of it. And I kind of wish he just would have left it with that more grounded reality because King is so good with his character work that he can make characters terrifying without making them supernatural or making them have powers and things like that. And I think that was my main disappointment with this, but it was still a good novel.
I agree with you there in terms of the supernatural abilities that Brady does have did also let me down a little bit. I was on board with the regenerative mystery chemicals that were given. I don't know if we're getting too much into plot. I'll remain as spoiler-free as I can, but we have a regenerative quality in the novel where there's some outside force that is helping Brady Hartsfield return to life. And I was on board for that, but then once the enhancement went to the familiar supernatural zone, I too was a little deflated because, like you said, Mr. Mercedes is epically strong and feels like the crime fiction Steve King is really trying to work with. And then Finders Keepers is also a wonderful detective-esque, obsessed fan, more crime fiction vibes, and once more, like you mentioned, centered in reality. So yeah, I was on board for the sort of cool return of Brady, but when we get to like fully formed Brady, I too was a little deflated.
Yeah, and I should note, spoiler alert here, I know with the older stuff, it was kind of like, okay, do we need to spoiler alert the 1970s Carrie book and movie and things like that? But, you know, we're getting into newer territory here. We're in 2016, so feel free to spoil things. Here's everyone's extra spoiler alert, because I've been terrible at doing that with either of my podcasts. I should get a little better at that, because I know sometimes the internet gets mad with spoilers. But, you know, I did really like the use of the video game, because this is something that has been a belief of various people over the years that, oh, video games are rotting people's brains, they're brainwashing people. And here we actually see this sort of hypnosis with it. And then we see how you have these characters who are really ancillary to the story, with the exception of Barbara, committing suicide. And it is just this terrible, tragic thing. And it takes a while for everyone to kind of get on the same page with how and why this is happening.
Absolutely. Yeah, I also liked the kiddishness of the game. I liked that it was cutesy. It was a cutesy game that Brady used as his kind of conduit to destroy people. And I like that it, you know, is seemingly innocent, very much like the app games of yore, the Angry Birds and the your cute little like Plants versus Zombies and like these innocent seeming games, and how playing them caused this terrifying reality. So I do agree that the game feature was cool. It definitely grounded the reader in the modern setting, which is always nice. Although I do love historical fiction King as much as the next person, it's definitely eerie and spooky when you kind of take a look at the apps on your phone, and it makes you second guess for sure.
Absolutely. Games are made to be addicting, and you keep coming back to them. I've been experiencing that recently with Pokemon Go again. Don't ask me why. I don't know. It's just happening. But I think, you know, there are certain technological elements that King has added into his stories, and I do enjoy the way he has done that with what I've read so far. I have, you know, 6 books left at this point, before Billy Summers comes out anyway, and then I'll have to add that to the list. But yeah. I really feel like there's this progression happening with King's stories, and I really think this trilogy was something different until this last book anyway, and then he kind of throws in his usual King stuff with the telekinesis and telepathy and, you know, being able to put your consciousness into someone else's body and use them as puppets, which that, like I said, is kind of where I wasn't super thrilled, but I also wasn't disappointed necessarily. So I think, you know, what he did with Brady by kind of lessening his role in the second book and then bringing him back sort of full force was a good move, because it lets you spend time with Bill, Holly, Jerome, and even Barbara that you wouldn't necessarily get if Brady was sort of the center of attention in book 2 as well. So I think that lull not only made his story more powerful in this, but just gave us a little extra time to spend with other characters. And you obviously have your hero and villain story in Finders Keepers as well, but what do you think of how Holly's character progressed over the three books?
Awesome question. Well, firstly, I feel you on the cute games because I'm a Pokemon Snap and the general N64 yeah. is my favorite system of all time. And I'm obsessed with all those games. So I feel you there. Secondly, congratulations on this amazing King accomplishment and only six books left. Oh my goodness, I tip my hat. But to answer your question, Holly is, I think by book three, constant readers and readers in general definitely started to realize that, hey, there's a pretty big spotlight on this girl. And I think by the time we get to end of watch, we've really seen Holly heal a lot more or basically find a solid ground. We really see her full-fledged in a state of, I think, peace, for lack of a better word, in the If It Bleeds novella that came out in 2020. For this one, I think that in Mr. Mercedes, we really see Holly as like this kind of manic, chain-smoking recluse with a lot of unhealthy habits, but she finds community and family with, she finds purpose, I think, as well, with Bill and Jerome, Barbara, their families. She feels kind of a home that she maybe never felt before because her own family seemed to have been really critical of her and really poured gasoline on a lot of sproutlings of mental illness she had. So I think she's able to relax in terms of being in her own body. But in End of Watch, we just really see her gifts, her technological savvy, her detective skills. I think she's in a healthier state of mind. She's comfortable. She's with her people. And that allows her to bloom really brightly. So I feel we see Holly in the healthiest, most productive state in this installment.
Which is great because, if anything, being surrounded by all of these suicides and so many other factors, you know, Brady coming back, it really could have been a downturn for her mental health and she could have easily regressed. But I love that King was like, no, she has done the work, she's put in the time, and she's going to keep moving forward no matter what happens with Brady. And you see her determination. She doesn't shy away from it. She doesn't listen to Bill, which is no surprise. And yeah. I think she's done a really great job of building connections that she never had before, obviously, because that's how King wrote the character. But, you know, Holly Gibney was someone who very much felt alone when we first met her in Mr. Mercedes. And now, even though there's this age difference between Bill, her, and Jerome specifically, and even Barbara, you know, she goes over to Jerome and Barbara's house for dinners and, you know, gets to know their parents more too. And it was just a very pleasant thing for King to do because of how he's previously handled some of his female characters.
So beautifully said. I couldn't agree more. And I love the fact that King gives her that state of not regressing, even though she is faced with those, the poopy, as I believe is the direct quote Holly uses a lot, like feeling poopy, in terms of that, those snakes in your brain, depression and anxiety, specifically depression. And I love, love, love that he takes her through that, that sort of dark forest in Mr. Mercedes and Finders Keepers. And we get to see her form that family bond with, I love that part in this book, is just the closeness that we now have because we've gotten to know Jerome and Barbara. We've all had a good chunk of time pass. So everyone's older and doing amazing things. And That chunk of time, I think, was so integral to letting Holly be fully formed in a positive way. And I agree with you so much. I'm so glad that she didn't feel the floor fall out from under her and regress into that dark place, because this was such a dark subject and a frightening pit that Brady was putting people in.
Right. And speaking of Brady, what did you think about a lot of the time we spent with him? Because we spent so much time really thinking he was just going to stay in this vegetative state. So King had a lot of work to do with Brady in this novel. And, you know, these novels aren't super long. Even if the mass market paperbacks are like 500 pages, they don't read like 500 pages. There's a huge difference between a 500-page hardcover and a 500-page mass market paperback, you know? So what did you think about how he was able to catch us up, basically, to Brady's plan?
Firstly, when I was listening to you talk about the early parts of Brady, I couldn't help but think about in Mr. Mercedes, he was so gross, Deanna. Like, he was just vile, right? Like, Brady is despicable. He's just, I'm sure you've talked about it in other episodes. I know I have, but, like, it's always extra yuck when you have like a really racist, homophobic, bigot, like just a terrible human being on the page. And that's exactly what Brady was. He was just an outcast and an angry loner who was lashing out at the world. But I hated the amount of time we were in his mind. It made me really angry when I was reading Mr. Mercedes. I was like, God, this guy's garbage. I hate him. So I do like that in Mr. Mercedes, or pardon me, in this novel, End of Watch, it's very different. It's more him in a sort of X-Men mindset. He realizes he's godlike. He realizes, you know, all of these amazing, it doesn't go away, his despicable nature, but I think it's muted and it's different. It's definitely upgraded. So I like that it's a seamless sort of, once the regeneration of brain tissue starts to go down, I do like that it's kind of like a seamless, okay, well, he's a rotten egg from moment one, and they should have pulled the plug on him like Bill wanted to, but, you know, as fate would, the hand of fate, the cruel hand of fate, which we see a lot in King's stories, which is great. So I like that the hand of fate caused a lot of the Brady 2.0.
Yeah, he did a great job with kind of making those two novels in particular connect with Mr. Mercedes and End of Watch, because of the fact that in Finders Keepers, it's more Jerome and Holly kind of confronting Bill and being like, you gotta stop seeing this guy. He's not, you know, going to be cohesive and make any sense anytime soon, because he's not responding to you anyway. So the fact that Brady was aware enough to know exactly how he was going to play things is certainly terrifying. And I think there could have been a way where King did just leave this as, no, Brady's a grounded character. He doesn't actually have these powers. Maybe, you know, the telekinesis was temporary and things like that. But I think overall he did a nice job of figuring out how to bring this character back in a way that would amplify the story in End of Watch. And I think, you know, Jerome being away, it was kind of one of those things too, where he had to do the whole let's get the gang back together thing.
Yeah.
And that can be really tough. And, you know, obviously Jerome was going to go off to college and do all these things. And then he was in Arizona building houses, or so the story said. And
yeah,
he had to come back because of Barbara's accident. And you really missed his presence, I think, in that first portion of this novel.
Yes, absolutely. I love Jerome and Barbara. I just think that even though it's like on paper, they're just good kids, sometimes that is so necessary. It's always nice in a narrative to have sweet characters, for lack of a better phrase, but they are. They're sweet and good, and there is a little bit of layering there in terms of the fact that we saw them as teens and preteens, and then now they're young adults and making their way in the world and deciding to fight crime with Bill and Holly. And so I actually, that's one of my most favorite parts about End of Watch. And it's even better when you jump to If It Bleeds, because like you said, he gets the band back together once more. And it's wonderful. It's just like a really charming thing that throughout all of this chaos, we get these really sweet people. And which is why I think when Brady attacks again and the same people are involved, it has that extra sharp edge because it's a villain they've dealt with before.
I was kind of hoping that I would have liked this a little more, but I think it's okay that I didn't, because as we know, King endings are a big topic of discussion, and this entire book is really an ending. And, you know, with the title End of Watch, that kind of gives that away a little. And I think with End of Watch, for me, the best parts were when they were all back together and you have the fact that Bill will take Holly with him, because him and Holly don't have family. They don't have a ton of life ahead of them, especially in Bill's case, because he gets this diagnosis that is, you know, terminal, basically. And they go through this whole argument with Jerome. And I thought that was a really good highlight of who all of these characters were in one single moment.
I so love that we see Bill's journey so beautifully in these three novels, because it's really, I think some would argue it's Holly's novels, but it's also Bill's. And I love the fact that in Finders Keepers, with Bill still sort of keeping watch over Brady, I wonder if it was just King sort of creating that lifelong cop who no matter what is always going to be a detective and follow his gut instinct until the end. And I love that we see this kind of rough and bumpy Bill in Mr. Mercedes. And then we see a guy who just wants to give back to the kind people he met along the way and take care of as many of them as he can while, you know, stopping bad guys, which has been his whole life's journey. So I love Bill Hodges as a character. I really do. I think a lot more could have been done, but I like the fact that it's King giving us a glimpse on the idea of a character rather than, like, you know, a full-on Losers Club 10,000 page, you know, the kind that stay with us forever. I don't know if Bill has exactly that kind of power, but I think it's the idea of him that lasts longer and is the resounding note in End of Watch for me.
I totally get that. And I love that these characters have been introduced and he's not afraid to return to them, because you already mentioned If It Bleeds, which, funny enough, I actually read that first.
Oh, cool.
Because I had a review copy. I think I had an ebook, if I'm not mistaken. And so I was reading through it and I was like, okay, I had already watched the Outsider HBO series by that point. So I was a little familiar with Holly, but I didn't really know anything outside of just watching the show. So I didn't know how her character differed from the books and things like that. And I think the fact that King is willing to come back to certain characters definitely tells you how much they mean to him. And with this trilogy, you really can tell how much he cares about these characters, but he's still willing to put them in terrible situations. You know, Bill has a heart attack.
Yeah.
And then he gets a terminal diagnosis. Like, King is not necessarily nice to his heroes. He does right by Holly, in my opinion, in this novel, as well as the other two. But I really just like his character work so much. But Kim, for you, were there any other moments in particular that you really enjoyed? I feel like I'm going to start getting a little too repetitive, so I will let you take the reins here with some of the things you specifically enjoyed about this book.
Yeah, no worries at all. For me, I specifically love, there's a side story with the nurse, or she's like the hospital librarian. I kind of love, sometimes in some King books, I don't love it because I'm too interested in the main characters. But, you know, in past King titles where he'll do like a segue, like he'll go off the path for a second and do a huge side character introduction. So he does that a lot, and sometimes it's welcome and sometimes it's not, just because I'm like, get me back to the story. I just finished Drawing of the Three. I'm starting my Dark Tower journey, so I'm really new. And he did that a lot in Drawing of the Three, but I was like, I don't care, Steve. I wanted to get back to Roland and Odetta and Eddie. But in this one, we have some hospital staff, and one of them is the librarian, but Brady kind of does a number on her. And I remember really feeling sad and bad, but enjoying this sort of vampire-esque, for lack of a better, because it was like Brady was just able to feed on her mind, and it does have very sad consequences, but it felt very vampire to me because she didn't know what was happening to her, and it was kind of a very creepy moment. So I remember from this latest read spending more time with that scene and really finding it terrifying and scary and sad. It's the like sneak. I always have a lot of sympathy for the characters who are victims and they have no idea what's going on, but the reader knows. So that dramatic irony really gets me. And this latest read, it got me where I was like, this is creepy. I think the first time I read it, I glazed over it because I just was caught up in the plot and I wanted to see the gang stop Brady and figure out that he's alive and coming back with all these powers. But I didn't like that this gal was very vampiric victim of Brady. And so I kind of enjoyed that, this second read.
Honestly, I'm so bad with names. I know who you are talking about, but outside of the core people, and, you know, he took over the doctor, he took over the guy who would come around with the library cart. You know, he wasn't the librarian. He was more like a custodian. He would kind of do multiple things. And he's a character you certainly felt bad for. You know, you felt bad for everyone almost in that ward because of how they were getting freaked out by Brady. And you could tell there were characters who would pop in and just really didn't like him. And, you know, that was all well deserved because of his actions. And I thought even those characters just coming in, no matter how long of a time period they were in either the scenes or the story in general, had an impact because of the fact that we were piecing together as we were reading this that Brady was going to do something big, and you knew almost all of these people were going to get hurt.
Absolutely. The other part I really enjoyed was, and I know this is kind of a small thing, but it felt, again, it just brings the closeness of the gang and it feels very official, was all the scenes at like the Finders Keepers location. Like the office scenes, I just liked that they have like a little home base, and then they all kind of show up. So I really enjoyed the close-knit gathering, and how Bill was constantly like, you can't go, it's too dangerous, and they're like, we're not listening to you. So it felt very Scooby-Doo almost a little bit.
Yeah,
just the urgency, the old school like dive into action aspect of it. I really felt that in End of Watch. He really brought the adrenaline and the chase element to life.
This is also the most nightmare result from Brady being in this vegetative state. You know, it would have been too easy to just leave him in that state. You know, it wasn't like he was a character who we didn't really care about. And I don't mean care about in the sense of caring about someone in a good way, but we were constantly concerned with, okay, something has to happen with Brady, right? Because King wouldn't let Hodges visit him over and over and over again and just have it be of little consequence, little to no consequence. So we knew there was going to be a consequence to all of the things that Bill said to him while he was supposedly in that vegetative state. So for me, I think that was the part with Brady's character that was extremely well done. You know, like I said earlier, the powers and everything like that, take it or leave it for me. It wasn't a deal breaker, but it wasn't my favorite move that King has made before. But I think overall, the way that all of the characters progressed over the three novels, and I know we keep talking about the other two, but when you have a trilogy, it's kind of hard not to wrap things up with the third one by not talking about the first two. So End of Watch does a really nice job of acting as a way to give us closure from what we read in Mr. Mercedes in particular.
Agree. Did you watch the Mr. Mercedes adaptation with Brendan Gleeson?
I have not. It's coming up soon. I think I have to, unfortunately, get through the Dark Tower movie first.
Oh, got you. Okay.
But it's coming up. By the time everyone is listening to this, I probably will have watched season one. So just keep in mind that record time on this and release time a little different here. So I totally will have watched some of it by the time everyone is hearing this. But as you and I are speaking, I can't say one way or the other anything about the show because I have not seen it.
I am so excited for you to watch it. I really think they did a tremendous adaptation. The casting alone, and I think you'll really like this, and this is one of the reasons I really like this trilogy and The Outsider on HBO, because the Holly Gibney casting is 180. The actress that they choose for Holly Gibney in the, I think it's a 2016, in the Mr. Mercedes, it's a different kind of incarnation of who Cynthia
Erivo.
Yes, Erivo. Her masterful, really nuanced performance in HBO's The Outsider. This actress is different, but they both work. I like them both. I really do. So I can't decide which one I like better. It's one of those because I think there's some cool stuff going on with each one. But I'm very excited to hear your thoughts on like casting and the way that they adapted the story because I think it made me love Bill more. Most definitely. And it definitely made me have more patience and appreciation for Holly because I was one of those initial cranky readers where I was like, who cares? Like, who cares about you, Holly Gibney? Like, why? Why are we spending so much time? But I'm actually so glad I thought that because then the more we interact with her in novels, I'm like, okay, what am I not seeing that King is wanting me to see or that I'm just not observing here? And I think it's her character journey. And like you said earlier, the work that she must do and that she does to get well and to pick herself up. And I was like, okay, I'm on board. And then by the time I got to the end of The End of Watch, I was like, I'm a fan. I think I'm a fan of Holly. I get it now.
A couple other characters we haven't mentioned here so far are Pete and Izzy, his new partner. And, you know, Pete is Bill's former partner. What did you think of bringing that dynamic in so late, especially because Izzy was a fairly big presence for a side character, and you could tell there was tension between her and Holly and her and Bill, less so with her and Bill because Bill was previously a cop. But what did you think of that sort of dynamic being thrown into this third novel?
It was take it or leave it for me. Yeah. I was like, this is not, it's not very strong. Because I think I was already dialed in and bought in with our cast, our main stars. You know, give me more Jerome, give me more Holly, give me more Bill, and even more Barbara, and even more the sweet little doggy, the golden retriever. You know, like, give me more of those. I do feel as marvelous of a King, of a character writer that King is, I was like, yeah, it did fall a little flat for me. I felt like it could have been chopped.
I found her to be quite annoying. So I was just like, can we move on? I want to pay attention to the characters I like. And, you know, even Brady was not a likable character, but a more interesting character than Izzy. And you could tell that she was kind of put in there because Pete needed a new partner, and she was really just trying to get to the top because she wanted to be like the first female, whatever the position is. I'm not 100% sure anymore, but that felt a little forced to me.
Agree. I felt that similarly, where I was like, anytime you find yourself glazing over what a character is saying, and that's exactly what I did with the character of Izzy. I was like, okay. When do we go back to? When do we get the character we really want? Yeah, I understood it was just to create this police landscape that Bill's a part of and his past and this sort of like detective arena we're working in. I got that. But it was, I agree. It just didn't work for me at all.
It's kind of wild how he can handle Holly so well and then have this other female character where it's just like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Let's stop. Let's just pump the brakes. And like, I think even with this second time, I think it was worse than the first read, because I was less interested the second time around, which usually doesn't happen. Usually I'm a little more cautious and I look deeper at the text the second time around to try and like look under every rock and stone for something deeper or more layered. And it was worse the second time, where I was like, nope, don't care. Not even part two will make me care. So I think it's kind of like if you get, I think the kiss of death in a restaurant is when you're just dousing the food with salt to give it life. That's kind of how that felt to me. I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it really did feel like that. Like I just didn't work.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the last big thing I wanted to mention here. But do you have any final thoughts, Kim?
Yeah, I really encourage that people make their way through the trilogy. I know that there's a kind of division. I mean, there's so many different tree branches in the Constant Reader King community. You know, you have the loyalist to the Dark Tower, which I totally get. I get why it's just an all-consuming magnum opus to so many. There's a lot of passion and fandom. And then you've got, you know, the Horror King people who are all about the horror. And then you've got myself, which is some sort of weird blended smoothie of all kinds of stuff. But like with this, I think I've heard and read a lot of disagreement with Crime Fiction King. I think that I've heard a lot of complaints that his writing isn't as strong because he's trying to do crime fiction. And I totally disagree. And I think that the police procedural stuff he's playing with, we also see this in The Outsider as well. I think Constant Readers or people new to King, give it a chance. I think there's some good stuff here. And the fact that we have this episodic trilogy with lovely characters, please cherry pick the good parts. You know, yeah, it's not as strong as other amazing King works that we all celebrate and love, but there's a lot of very good writing, especially in Finders Keepers. I think Finders Keepers is maybe the best one of the trilogy. Very different from the first and third, but there is something very cool going on in this. So, and then End of Watch, even though there are probably more cons I have with it than pros, it is still a wonderful concluding note on the character of Bill Hodges and a kind of pause on Holly. And we really, you know, see her resurge in upcoming King work. So I highly recommend that everyone give this one a chance. And the TV show is excellent. So you get that at the end of the book.
Yeah, I would also say check out his hard case crime novels too, because those are crimes that are happening and not coming from the perspective of a cop or retired cop, what have you. They're coming from a different perspective. But Kim, real quick, let's fit in some ratings here. I gave this a 3.5 out of 5, and I'm pretty sure I gave the other two novels 4 out of 5 each. So for me, this, like I said, wasn't too far off. It was just a little less exciting for me as far as the trilogy goes.
Correct. I agree with you. I'm actually going to go a little lower. I'm going to give it a 3, a solid 3 out of 5, just because it doesn't hit as hard with the outcomes of, well, the Brady fully formed execution, I think I have a couple issues with, but and the writing is a little bit all over the place in terms of there's a lot happening, and I think he could have done some editing there to really make it razor sharp. But overall, it's touching, it's sweet, and it's kind of, it feels a little like comfort food. It's a little comfort foody. And so sometimes comfort food isn't the most nutritious. So, but it's enjoyable. So a nice 3 out of 5.
Yeah, it's like right around there, I think, for a lot of people. And I know there are some mixed thoughts on this trilogy, but overall, I had a good time with it. I'm excited for more of his crime stuff as I get to The Outsider, because I haven't read the book, but I watched the show, and, you know, If It Bleeds has the Holly Gibney story, and he released another hard case crime book this year with Later, so there's a lot of crime stuff coming up still for me as far as my King reading goes. But Kim, thank you so much for joining me. And again, everyone, be sure to check out Kim's podcast. There's a link in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Dana. It was such a blast talking with you. I support 1,000,000,000% all of your endeavors, and it's always great chatting King with really cool people. So thank you so much for having me.
All right, that does it for this episode of Chat Cemetery. You can support the podcast on Patreon for $1 a month. You'll get a thank you on the show. For $2 a month, I will send you a Chat Cemetery sticker. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do so at Chat Cemetery on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You could also rate and review the show. That's a huge help. And as always, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy the rest of your day.